Hare O Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Page 77. Number 9. Inattention while chanting. Haridas spoke to Sanatan Goswami in Puri and to Gopal Bhatta when he traveled to South India. He taught the importance of performing one's chanting without inattention. Inattention is counted as one of the aparadhas. Even if one successfully overcomes all the other offenses in chanting, and one is chanting continuously, love of God may not come. One should know that the reason for this is that one is committing the offense known as pramada, or inattention. This offense will block progress to praying. Right? So one's not doing anything else. One's not offending Vaishnavas. One doesn't have any wrong understandings or wrong practices. And one may be always chanting. But if one's inattentive, then prema can't arise, because prema means that the show of affection between the subject and the object, right? But here, then the difficulty comes is that if you're inattentive, where's the relationship? You understand? So technically, we're chanting nicely in that we're steady, we're fixed, but unless we had attention, so that would mean we're not focused on the name itself as a person, right? So then that's not going to get the result of developing love for that person, right? In other words, you develop affection for someone that you're conscious of, not someone who you're not conscious of. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's pretty straightforward. But if one is, like you said, one would be fixed. There would be a nishta. So one is steady. One is continuously chanting, right? He's humble. He's tolerant. He respects others. He's not looking for any respect for himself. So he can chant continuously. So that's good. That's solid. But still, one has to be attentive, because the point is it's not that we're not doing something wrong, it's that we're doing something right, right? And why you can't, it's hard to do something right while you're doing something wrong, right? Does that make sense? So the only benefit of not doing something wrong is now you can do something right. It's not that I'm not doing anything wrong, therefore I'll get my result, right? That's karma. Karma is I'm doing no bad activities, therefore I should get a good result. Does that make sense? That's where the idea will come from. Because otherwise, if you're not doing something positive, why will you get a result? Right? So the point is because we will be thinking that if no negative things are happening, it's quite good. Right? We're so used to it being negative that we're just looking out for those things that won't make it negative. Does that make sense? So this way, then the idea comes up. So if we're chanting constantly that, then everything's fine. No, that means now you're situated well. Now that is your best situation. But now it should be positive in that one's attentive. Yes?
Can you explain how it's karma that I'm not doing anything wrong, therefore I should get a result?
I'm not doing something wrong means I'm in my life, so many things are going wrong, and you're looking at it, no, but I'm behaving properly, I'm not offending Vaishnavas, why is all this happening? You understand? Because karma means action or reaction. I did something, I get a result, right? That's where the fruit of idea comes in, is that because I'm doing this, therefore I should get the result, right? I'm doing sadhana, I should get my result. So, but what is that result we're looking for? I went to Mangalartik, I should get my result. What's the result?
My result. My elevation.
Yeah, my elevation, freedom, freedom from anxiety, all those. So that's all in the realm of karma and jnana. You know, the idea is that one is performing all these activities to develop a love for Krishna, right? So it's not a matter of getting a result, it's a matter of pleasing Krishna, because it said when Krishna is pleased, then one will get prema. So it's not a matter, I did my work, I get my result. No, it's that I do my work to please Krishna. And whether I get prema or not, the point is you have prema, you're working to please Krishna. You don't have prema, you're working to please Krishna. So the attitude of the devotee never changes, right? He's doing that's Sanatana Dharma. He's doing his Dharma. And then Krishna, as he pleases, then he reciprocates. Does that make sense? Like that. But the point is that Krishna wants to reciprocate. We're the ones that have a tendency to not pay. We're the ones that have a problem with inattention, right? We haven't heard a problem that super soul sitting in the heart, because, you know, how many times do you have to watch the guy do whatever he does, right? And not only that, he's sitting in everyone's heart. They're all doing the same thing. And he's been doing that since time immemorial. But we never hear that he gets bored or he becomes inattentive. Right? It's not that the soul turned to the other bird, but the other bird was asleep because he was so bored from unlimited lifetimes of just nonsense that he lost the... No, you never hear that. He's waiting for you to turn your attention. So inattention's not his problem, like we were saying with the name. Impurity's not the name's problem. It's our problem. But we'll put it on someone else. You know, it's like something's going wrong. What's God doing? Why is this happening to me? I'm doing everything right. If we were doing everything right, we wouldn't be here. We'd be back in the spiritual world. We'd be on the platform of prema. But something's not right. That's why we're here. Right? Unless, of course, you're an acharya like that, descended from the spiritual world like that, then, you know. But the acharya would agree with the point anyway. So it's us who are not the acharyas that we have our doubts. No, but I'm doing my good work. Why? So that's why all these different points in technical, they point out where's the difference between the karma and the bhakti, you know, or the jnana and the bhakti. Bhakti automatically includes karma and jnana, but karma and jnana don't automatically include bhakti, right? Smoke means there has to be fire, but fire can function without smoke. Right? So it's not that the analogy goes both ways. So one has to be very clear of that. Otherwise one will come up with an illogical conclusion. Right?
This question is to be attentive. Is it directly related to the state of consciousness?
Is it directly related to the state of consciousness? You could say it's directly related to what you're conscious of. Right? Like, you may be thinking of Krishna, but you may be thinking of the deities. And so you're thinking of Krishna, but you're not thinking of the name. You know what I'm saying? So in one sense, there is no difference. So that's not really a problem. But at the same time, is if you're not attentive to Krishna in the form that he's there. You know, it's just like, let's say, the cowherd girls are helping Rohini Mataji serve breakfast to Krishna. Okay? Now, that's a problem.
I'm good.
Oh, okay, because as soon as I said, they're serving breakfast to Krishna. Oh, okay. Why are they serving breakfast?
What are they serving?
Oh, maybe that's it. What are they serving? Now, if I'm a maidservant, do I get in on that? Okay, so they're serving breakfast, right? Now, sitting with Krishna's Madhu Mangal, not really much of a problem, right? He's cool. He's an intimate childhood friend. So he can relate to the conjugal rasa, right? Krishna has girlfriends. It's not a problem for him. Other boys are there, like Radharani's brother. Okay, now that's not so great for, you know, the conjugal understanding, right? So then, Sudama's there, you know, nice friend, but not intimate. You know, Subal is the intimate, like this. So they're there, okay. But then also is Nanda Baba and his brothers, right? Mother Yashoda is there, Rohini's there. So the mood, even though they have a conjugal relationship with Krishna, they can't manifest it. Right? And Krishna can't manifest it. It means any manifestation has to be so subtle that no one else will catch it but the gopis. Okay? So that means that Krishna in that form is not the full attention or the full taste won't be appreciated. Right? Though he's there, there's the element of separation. Right? It's actually more difficult. If you're with the person, that's nice. You're not with the person, that's a problem. But if you're with the person and can't be with the person, that's even more difficult. Does that make sense? Right? So, does that mean then they're just absorbed in Krishna when they're going to meet him at Radhakund or last night when they were at, Govindastali? But they're not going to pay much attention to Krishna in this manifestation because they can't interact with him that deeply. Right? Would that be correct? Or would they give full attention to serving Prasad and taking care? They would give full attention because he's there. It's the same person. It's just the situation is such they can't interact. So the point is Krishna's there is the name, so we're interacting with him in that, at that point. Not that we're with one form of Krishna, we're thinking of another. Does that make sense? But at the same time, it's better you're chanting and thinking of some other aspect of Krishna than you're chanting and thinking of something mundane. Like that. Is that right? Of course, we get into the technical point on whether halava is mundane or not. That's another thing, but yes.
Maharaj, is inattention a problem arising from the modes of passion and ignorance, or is it does it come about from all the modes of nature?
It could come about from any mode. You know, the element of jnana will come from goodness. Your fruta will come from passion and ignorance. Like that. Does that make sense? So it's always going to. There's always, you're looking at result, that's one thing, you're looking at the body, that's another. So there's always, it's just the modes are always adjusting, so. Pramada may mean madness, but here the meaning is inattention or carelessness. It is from this offense that all other offenses spring. The wise men recognize three types of inattention. Indifference or no attention. Laziness and distraction, attraction to other objects. By good fortune, after getting faith, a jiva will take up the name. By chanting regularly, counting on a Tulsi Mala carefully, he will develop attraction for the name. Right? So carefully means that he's, you know, not skipping beads or things like that. He will develop attraction for the name. However, until that attraction is actually developed, one must be very careful about how one chants. Right. Point is when there's taste for the chanting, right, ruchi, then generally there's not much point difficulty in attention, because one's getting a taste there, so one is focused. That's what I was saying here is that the person's chanting continuously but not developing love. So that means he must be a nishta, because if it's before nishta, it will be irregular. But it's regular, but there's still the quality of inattention. So that means ruchi hasn't developed. Right, so even though before nishta is glorified as being solid in devotional service, so it's steady, here is the fine point. still inattention can arise and therefore be an obstacle, right? And then from this, other things can come up, right? So one wants to be very careful. Right? Naturally, the common man, having attachment to material things, will be attracted to these things even while chanting. Though chanting japa daily, if his taste is elsewhere, he will show indifference to the name. His heart will not be absorbed in chanting the name, but in some material object. How can that benefit him? He may chant 64 rounds, counting strictly on his japa beads, but in his heart he has not received one drop of the taste of the name. This indifference or apathy towards the name is one type of inattention. In the heart of a materialist, it is unavoidable, right? So therefore, the materialist is going to be there. So we're talking about someone who is, we're not talking about the person who is not chanting the name, right? Or the person who is chanting, but they don't have the sampradaya, the name in sampradaya, so it's not bona fide, right? That means, what's the meaning there? That's obvious. So means that materialist here means the neophyte, right? So they're pointing out in the neophyte, not that he's in association of devotees, the glory of it, but pointing out the materialistic aspect of being a neophyte, that's going to distract, right? So because of that, he's absorbed in other things, right? He has his taste elsewhere. So therefore, but he's saying it's unavoidable. So if one finds that's there, then it's not a matter of worry that one's on that platform. I mean, that's happening. The problem is why am I on that platform? Does that make sense? If you're materialistic, you will think like you'll be inattentive in this way. It means indifferent. But, so that's natural, it says. But the point is why should that be the natural point, right? If you're not a materialist, it's not natural. So therefore, stop being a materialist. That point will go away. Does that make sense? So when we, by studying, by practice, by sadhana, we start to see that Krishna is more valuable, right, than our conditioning, then this indifference will go down. Does that make sense? So it's not that we focus on the indifference. That's just a symptom. Right? You know, that you look in the pot, you know, you're cooking the rice, you squeeze one of the rice, it's still quite hard. But it's in the natural state that you would normally take it off the fire. So what's the real problem? It's not cooked, but what's the actual... It's the symptom as you see you squeeze it, it's not cooked. What's the real problem? Not enough water. You understand? So the focus is not on, oh, it's not cooked, it's hard, it's just... As you go on talking, the water becomes less. Right? The point is, oh, it needs more water. So you put more water. Right? And then it goes back to what it normally should look like, you know? Does that make sense? Then when it gets to that again, then when you squeeze, you know, it's got, you know, an air hole, the steam coming out, and the rice is soft, means it's cooked. Now you take it off. Does that make sense? So symptoms aren't the focus. Symptoms simply let you know that there's a problem. Right? Does that make sense? You're driving along on your bike, right? And the tire, you know, is making noise. And, you know, when you hit a bump, you really feel the bump, right? So these are the symptoms. What's the problem? It's a flat tire. So the point is you have to fix the tire. You understand? So symptoms are only for that. So the symptom of indifference means that there's material desire. So that means you work on that, which is done by absorption more in the chanting and associating with devotees, hearing from devotees, practicing devotional service, right? In other words, those points of distraction, those should be engaged in Krishna service. If indifference or lack of attraction for the name is present, one should take association of Vaishnavas who are properly chanting in some place sheltered from the material influence. By chanting in that situation, his absorption in material things will be reduced. Being inspired by the conduct of the Vaishnavas, he will give up that fault, right? So again, it's just association, right? Sitting around lamenting that I'm so fallen, so that doesn't do anything. right? It means it's taking the positive action. Therefore, if I'm materialistic, put myself in association that's not. You know, situations that are not. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so it means, in other words, you don't... You don't walk into, you know, how you say, Saks Fifth Avenue or, you know, Harrods or, you know, one of these kind of shops and then decide you're going to chant your japa there, you know, like that. And you might choose the shoe section or the bag section, you know, as the best. Because they always have some place to sit down, right? You know, like that. So that would be great, you know. Right? Does that make sense? Gradually the heart will get attraction to the name and will be anxious for the nectar of the name. Right? So first is get attraction and then that anxious for that. Because once there's that taste, then you want once more of it. Right? The advanced devotees have recommended that one live in a place where Krishna had his pastimes, near Tulsi, in the company of Vaishnavas, and gradually increase the period of chanting. Right? So these are the... So by being the holy dham, being near Tulsi, and in the company of devotees, right? And then slowly spend more time chanting. These are the best ways to remove this indifference. Quickly, the taste for material objects will go. Another remedy is to carefully chant in a room by oneself, with the door locked. Right? And in the present day, you could say, the door locked, your phone on silent, your computer turned off. Or concentrate on names by covering the eyes, ears, and nose with a cloth, or the like to prevent stimuli from the exterior. Carefully chanting in this way, an attraction or taste for the name will develop and indifference will be suppressed. Right? In other words, either be with other people there, Tulsi's there, the devotees are there chanting nicely in that environment, or you go to some place that's secluded where no one's going to bother you, sit down, close the door, lock the door so no one's coming in and asking if you want anything. You know, stuff like that. And then, or you can also, if that's not, you can't create that situation, then you just take a cloth and you stick that over your head and all that and chant underneath, right? That means one you can't see through, right? You know, otherwise you're sitting there and everything like that. So, yes. Okay, so that was the indifference or no attention. Right? There's just no attention. You're just chanting. Right? There's no attention. It's not specifically on this or that or anything. It's just not, it's just, right? One chants with a sluggish mind, right? So that's laziness. Or after chanting a little while, one has to stop before finishing his round. It is called laziness. Right? This may be one of the reasons Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented that no one ever saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beads. Right? So then understanding this point, that means he always finished the round. Because when you finish the round, then you just leave it in the bag. You don't have to pull it out, right? It's only when you're halfway through, you have to pull it out to see how far through you are, you know, that you can, you know, not lose anything because there's a lot of those rounds, so, right? Exactly. If you didn't finish it every time, then you, like that. So that means that there was no laziness. It was always nicely chanting. From this, one's taste for the name cannot develop. The remedy for this is to take association of Vaishnavas who do not waste time in material activity but constantly chant and remember the holy name, being absorbed only in the name. Right? So the other one is be association of devotees. They're always engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So then that means then, their focus is on the name, like that. But it doesn't specifically say that only absorbed in the name. They could be absorbed in other aspects of devotional service, but they're absorbed in Krishna. Right? But if there's laziness, then that means there's not even that, that determination to continue chanting, you know, once one becomes lazy. The other thing is, one's chanting, and one does very nicely, one gets all the rounds, as I said, he's chanting 64 rounds, very nicely counted, so he is, the ritual is going very well. But he's not focusing on the name. Here it's that it's even difficult to even be involved in the process. So then it's saying, then one should associate with those who take their chanting, that's their main focus in their sadhana. Like that. Because then you can see, because then it'll be obvious the symptoms of their focus on the chanting. Does that make sense? So it's still association, but then it's meaning those who are really into chanting. The other thing is you're just in the temple, everyone's there in the temple, you know, you're chanting there, Tulsi, like this. So that's the other one is those who are really into their chanting. Right? You go sit with them, you know? That makes sense. One should follow in their footsteps. When one sees how the true Vaishnava sadhu does not waste time in useless pursuits, he will develop a taste to do likewise. In his mind, he will think, very good. By this, enthusiasm will come to the lazy mind. He will overcome the offense of laziness or inertia. Right? So just that he thinks that this is good, that they're not wasting time, they're always absorbed in the name, that itself is very good. Right? And that's what creates the next step. Right? Because remember before, saying that devotional service is simply the desire to please Krishna. Right? To be engaged in an activity where the result will please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? That's all it is. So the same thing here, just by thinking, wow, this is very nice how these devotees are so absorbed and don't waste their time. Just that itself, the mind is attracted to that, so then whatever the mind accepts, that you can work towards. But if the mind is rejecting that, then it doesn't matter what you do, you can't deal with it. Even though the intelligence understands, the mind, it'll take more time with the mind. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It could be saying the reverse, that these bad habits are developed and associated with people who are not doing these things.
Yeah, basically. Like that. Because you generally find is that means, how do you say? Because in both of these elements, then there's one's not an absorbed in the name, so that means one's absorbed materially. But you see, one may be, it may be, they're active persons, so they're religious minded, they do things right, they do things properly. But it may or may not necessarily be fruitive. I think the next one is more when there's the fruitive aspect. So it might even be the element of the mode of goodness, but he's not attracted to the name. So therefore, it's still, even though it's mode of goodness, still mode of goodness is not pure goodness, it's not a good enough. Right? Here then we're looking at the mode of ignorance, where there's a laziness, there's a lack of wanting to do something. It's not that he wants to do something else. It's just a general laziness. So you'll see that. Persons who are always active as karmis, then they'll be very active in their sadhana. Right? Persons who are lazy as materials will be lazy as devotees. Right? As one gets purified, then the mode of ignorance goes away, so then they become active. You know what I'm saying? Because the mode of passionate ignorance is not natural for the soul, right? The situation of goodness is, but that's not, material goodness is pure goodness, because material goodness has a touch of passionate ignorance in it. Does that make sense? So when you purify the passionate ignorance, then once the soul is situated in its natural state. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's a predisposition. So, but I'm saying one would naturally gain that from associate, because if one's lazy, where would one naturally, you know, take one's appearance? You know, generally in a lazy environment. Unless, of course, there's some serious karma going on and you have this very dynamic, all the other brothers and sisters are doctors and lawyers, your parents are famous, they're published in journals and all that, and you're lazy. Like that, you know, you do have it. But it's generally there's some more intricate elements of karma going on here. You know what I'm saying? So the point is one will generally, you know, associate with others who, you know, encourage such, you know, the, how you say, the Manyanites, you know, like that. Okay. By this, enthusiasm will come to the lazy mind who overcome the offense of laziness or inertia. One will become determined to increase his chanting every day. By this eagerness in his rounds and by the mercy of the devotees, the offense of inertia will quickly go away. Right? So he's enthusiastic. He's associating with those who are enthusiastic. So his enthusiasm and their being pleased with that, then naturally everything will become good. One should be careful to eliminate the third type of inattention, distraction. From distraction, all types of inattention are born. In other words, the other inattentions come up from distraction. This fault resides in attraction for women, or men in the case of women, and wealth, attraction for material success or victory, desire for position, and the cheating propensity. If one has attraction in any of these categories, one will naturally be inattentive to the holy name, right? Because these are the main social elements that one is absorbed in, right? Right? Basically, Dhanam, Janam, and Sundari. That, you understand? That aspect. Then it's not there, because what the third verse, the third verse, one is steady. But taste is coming in the fourth, because there's no attraction for Dhanam, Janam, or Sundari. If that's not there, generally what else is there to be distracted by? Right. In other words, these are the aggressive distractors. You know what I'm saying? People fight, kill themselves, start wars, make politics over these ones. Right? It means Troy was fought over a woman. You know, the wealth, you know, how many wars are there, or who's in control. Right? So the other inattentive means that it's something, you know, not so important. You know, you're worried about your porcelain dishes or something, and whether they're as nice as your friends. But then that turns into prestige. You know what I'm saying? You know, some little thing that you're thinking about in the house and how to clean the floor more nicely, or, you know what I'm saying? In other words, it's inattentive, but it's not something major. It's not that it itself is a dramatic attractiveness. That's why it's not called attraction. To something else, right? It's just indifference. Because the thing that you're connecting with is not that important either. It just happens to be something you're talking about. You know, like talking about the weather or something. Like, who cares? You know? Yeah.
But it's just the mind is just always active, isn't it?
The mind is always active. Yeah. So that's why it's saying that one will be distracted by something else that's just going to be there. So if one comes to the point of taste, then one will always be connected to Krishna. So that comes by wanting it. Right? In other words, let's say you want something. You know, you've decided you want the new iPhone 4S, right? So now, the point is you only get it once you want it first. Right? Otherwise, you won't make the endeavor. So now, if you want to not be inattentive, you'll make the endeavor to associate with the devotees. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It seems these things, attraction for women, wealth, attraction, so they come from lust, right?
But it's all lust. It's just a matter of how intense it is. Okay. Right? As we mentioned before, is that the natural inherent love of the soul, when it's applied on anything else other than Krishna, it takes on a designation according to what it is. So for women, then it'll be lust. For wealth, it'll be called greed. Right? You know, material success, then that's, you know, I'd say, I'm not sure what the proper term would be. But, huh? Yeah, prestige would be there. Prestige, victory means that, you know, that. Yeah. You know, position, cheating like this. So it takes on the names of those things, right? Let's say he has that attraction for good food, right? And he can appreciate it, so he's called a connoisseur, right? You know, like that, or does that make sense? So whatever it is, then it's given that name. You know, as soon as, you know, every Wednesday come, he's down at the comic shop because the new comics come out. Then he's called a nerd, right? So, you know, all these different things, it's called by the kind of attraction you have. Does that make sense? You know? So even the other, but it's the application of the distraction of that natural affection for Krishna isn't that great. It's just like neutral. Mm. You know, it's some minor things. It's not something that you would pursue. It's just that happens to be there. You know, you're sitting there nothing to do, so you happen to look at things. It's not that you're specifically attracted by, or it's there. You're looking at maybe of interest because it's, you know, like that, a leaf moved, oh, okay, wow. You know, like that, you know, there was a bird, you know, because nothing else is moving, so, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's indifference. But this is that you're really attracted by it, so therefore you're not interested in anything else, so definitely you're not going to notice the name. Does that make sense?
So we cram our minds with Krishna conscious related things, yes, and then the distractions will be
less. Yeah.
Less, but yeah, nevertheless there.
Yeah. Yeah, never totally the less.
Exactly.
Yeah, until there's taste, and then it definitely becomes the less. Until it becomes the non-existent. Right? But the point is that's only important because you're trying to develop prema. It's still the same principle. The retraction is only important because then it gives room for developing love for Krishna. You understand? So because these things are distracting us from love for Krishna, retraction is important. Right?
But
it's still secondary. It's only supportive. If we take it as primary, you know, like that. You know, it's just like, you know, amongst the brahmacharis. Yeah, he's a real brahmachari. Why? He's so renounced. He's so this, he's so that. You know, but did they mention anything about Krishna? No. They'll say, well, that's taken for granted, of course, because he's a devotee. Yeah, but he's a brahmachari, so it's taken for granted he's renounced. So, you know, what about, you know, the prema? He's a devotee. You know what I'm saying? Because if you say the person's a good devotee, what are you going to talk about?
Krishna.
Right. And if you say he's a good manager, what are you going to talk about? Yeah, if he's a good brahmachari.
Renunciation?
Of course.
Well, you could talk about Krishna also.
The idea is we're keeping this generic, not making it personal.
I just
here.
Got a little confused.
Yeah, okay, now if we say he's a good grihasta.
Family?
Right, family interaction. Yeah, he's a good businessman. We're talking about... So the point is he's a devotee, so then the point is that attraction to Krishna, the practices where he's absorbed, shows that devotional, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'd say he's a good sadhaka. You know, his sadhana is very regular, very steady. We'll say he's a good sadhaka. Right? Does that make sense? If one has attraction in any of these categories, one will naturally be inattentive to the holy name. So again, it's natural. Right? So the idea is that the inattentiveness is coming from this, and so therefore then there's going to be a way to get rid of it. One should be careful to eliminate these fixations by following the proper Vaishnava behavior. Right? Because when these come up, that's where all your bad habits come in. Right, so your dhanam, your sundaram, that's where your difficulties come in doing something wrong. Right? Does that make sense? So.
But also the bad behavior strengthens the bad propensity.
Yes.
One may like even by doing something wrong, by chance, so to say, not accidentally, when he does something wrong, and he finds his bad tendency increased by this bad action.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they nourish each other. That's what they... So the idea is to cut off the food supply. Right? So then they don't develop. So here is that if you behave badly, then that will increase the attraction to these things. You know, because the point is if you behave well, some person who is always well behaved, it's hard for him to actually do something wrong, even if he'd like to. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy who's always done everything right, all the things like that, very regular, it's really hard for him to go and do something crazy. Right? Because the bad behavior will also bring it back. And so if one's not doing the activity, then one can only speculate about it. Right? But it doesn't have as much depth. It may keep the mind just as engaged, but it doesn't have the draw that if one's actually involved. Right. On ekadasis and appearance days, one should stop thinking of eating and all day and night chant in the association of devotees. In this way, one will joyfully engage in devotional activities, listening to scriptures of the Lord in association with the Lord's service in the Lord's tongue. Right, so here is that. Because these other things come up where it's the mind, and the mind controls the senses. So therefore, by restricting the senses and all that, and just engaging the senses only in the direct activities, then naturally, in the association of devotees, then one will start to get that taste. Does that make sense? Because the other one, there's no problem. You can chant 64 rounds, no problem there, and do it very nicely, but you're not paying attention there. Right? You know, does that make sense? Or are you lazy? That you have a problem. But here it's that you're quite willing to think of or be involved in useless activities. So therefore, then the counter is that same intensity. Because one will say, well, it didn't mention about fasting on ekadasi and festivals and really getting the sadha on the others. Because you don't have the problem or you do have the problem, so you're just trying to even develop problem. Because you don't have attraction to anything in the middle one. Right? Laziness, you know, even a material thing you can't get that absorbed in, right? Because why is the man successful? Because he occasionally thinks of what he wants? No, he's always absorbed. So the lazy person is too lazy spiritually. He's also too lazy materially. Right? So it's not necessarily by controlling the senses that that's going to what's going to drive him. The other one, he doesn't need to control extra because he already is. Right? But this one, because the implication of the distraction is the improper involvement of the mind and senses. So therefore, then more intensely the other way, then one puts that focus there. Does that make sense? But you see in all of them, it's association to devotees, you know, an ideal Krishna conscious environment. That's the common element. But just what you're focusing on in there. Because here it doesn't say that he also has problem chanting. It's a distraction. So therefore, really get into the name, fast. Right? Because when you're fasting and you're hungry, then generally one doesn't have great plans for world domination or, you know, great social prestige or sensuality or, you know, it just doesn't work that way. Yes.
You mentioned the importance of the association of devotees. Can we also say that the importance to feel inspiration?
Feel inspiration. Yes. Well, by being in devotee, with the association of devotees, it's for the purpose of becoming inspired. So one should know why one's there. Because they're inspired, so you want to gain that from them. So in this case, they're inspired, they're not absorbed in material activities. You know, meaning in the way of serious distractions. Or they're absorbed in Krishna consciousness and they're not lazy. They're always active in Krishna consciousness. So that's your inspiration. Or the other is that they're always absorbed in Krishna. So therefore, you know, that's what's, you know, whatever way they're absorbed, that's what you're looking for. Right? So one, you're looking for their absorption in Krishna. The other one, they're looking for the not being lazy. Right? And in this way, it is that their focus on their sadhana is very good. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because you're so distracted by the one, then you have to take the other. You have to balance it. Right? Because if you just say they're nicely attracted to Krishna and focus on their attraction to Krishna, it'll work to some degree, and then when the mind goes back to that other thing, it's just as strong. There's been no retraction. You've cultivated attraction, but the problem is the retraction is weak here. So that's what has to be brought up. Right? Does that make sense?
This is connected to the Upadeshamata, right?
Yes, enthusiasm. So it's endeavor with intelligence. So we see here's all these, you have to make an endeavor and you have to use the intelligence to do it. Because the mind already is either not absorbed, really lazy, or really absorbed materially. Right? In other words, it's really absorbed materially, right? Really not absorbed, you know, and so therefore also useless spiritually. Or it's in the middle, it's kind of neutral. So in all these states, it's right. So in the sorry. In the, okay, on Ekadasis and appearance days, one should stop thinking of eating and all day and night chant in the association of devotees. In this way, one will joyfully engage in devotional activities. Listening to scriptures of the Lord in association with the Lord's servants in the Lord's tongue. Gradually the bhakti portion of one's mind will increase and the mind will rejoice in hearing topics about Krishna, right? So here we see is the retraction is that you're not focusing on trying to retract, you're focusing on that which will cause the retraction, right? So therefore, the devotional portion can increase because there's a decrease in the material portion. Right? So that's where how retraction works. So it's not that it needs to be separately focused on. But what will cause the retraction, that's what you focus, which is devotional service. But you're focusing on it in that aspect. Right? But even once done this very nicely, then again it points out it's not just the form of the sadhana, it's the mood of affection. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then, by practice, one gets it down, one comes to the point where now I'm steady. I don't have any of these anarthas distracting. Right? But I'm steady, but still it's not attraction to Krishna. Does that make sense? So first you're attracting from the absorption in the material engagement. Right? The external engagement that's material. And that brings you to the external engagement that's spiritual. But then one has to understand that the real element of the spiritual is not the form through which it's expressed, but it itself in its pure form of service to Krishna. Right? The higher taste will come and the lower taste will go. Upon hearing songs about Krishna from the mouths of the pure devotees, one's mind and ears will taste the real nectar. In this way, the desire for low material objects will disappear, and the heart will be constantly fixed and attracted to singing the name. By avoiding the offense of distraction, one will be able to indulge in the nectar of name. Yeah, probably the name. One should thus never be inattentive to complete one's prescribed number of daily rounds. This should be noted day by day. When chanting these prescribed rounds, one should avoid the different types of inattentiveness. Giving up the desire to increase the number of rounds for show, one should attempt to first concentrate nicely on what one can manage. Right? So in other words, it's not that the volume of the rounds you're chanting, it's the quality of absorption. Right? So that doesn't mean, well, I can only absorb myself in four rounds, so I'm going to chant. No, you chant your 16 rounds. You don't increase it beyond 16 unless that attention is there. Then one's getting, you know. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that on festival days, codices, that one can't increase it there. But it just means on daily. That's what he says. What, chanting these prescribed rounds, you know, or number of daily rounds. Like that, yes.
I've heard that generally we should be careful not to do extra rounds, but like going up and down in number of rounds.
No, as long as it's above. Point is you've taken the vow to chant 16. So if you chant beyond that, that's fine. It doesn't mean that one day you had more time, so you chanted 32 rounds, so now it's bad because now you're going back to 16. No, it was. Does that make sense? That's not the point. No, the point is that it's what's your fixed number of rounds. If that goes up and down, that's not good. So that's why, unless one has come to the point where that will come naturally, that chanting, don't increase the number of rounds that you're fixed daily on. Like, even if you can chant generally more, but occasionally you don't, you know, if it's not always, then don't fix it as a higher, you know. But if it's simply by a little attention that you could do that, you know, chant 20 rounds or something, then you do that. But if it's like, you know, generally you always will chant 20, but sometimes you won't, then keep it at 16. But if it's, you know, you'd always chant 20, sometimes you chant 24, and then like that, then you can fix it at 20. Does that make sense? So it's, yes.
Sometimes, especially if you are Pujari and you have a lot of service on festival days, I sometimes don't manage to finish my rounds.
Yeah, so you make them up the next day.
That's no problem.
It's not ideal, but it's no problem. You understand? It's not that it's okay, therefore it doesn't matter. So one can also try that, you know, the festival's coming, try to get extra rest the day before or those days leading up to it and get up earlier and chant. You know what I'm saying? So before the insanity strikes, you've already got, you know, a lot of your rounds done. Right? But you've also rested so that, you know, the extra, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That also is a way to take care of it, is you know that. In other words, if you know a flood's coming, then you put up the sandbags beforehand, rather than you get washed away, and then, you know, at some point you crawl onto a beach somewhere, and then, you know, walk back. You know, it works. Does that make sense? So, in either way, try to do it beforehand, or make it up the next day, but because the next day doesn't mean the third day is also okay.
Yeah, but sometimes when we have to
the program
going
on, so we have to do all the preparations. You know, in the small temples in the West, we are a handful of Pujaris. And then you have 3-4 days, like a marathon. Yeah, yeah.
It's sometimes not possible to
finish the rounds. Yeah, but you should try to work out how. Like, means this, when we say in the West, the small temple, it's only the temple that's small. The community generally runs in hundreds. You know, so then one could always put out that, figure out what things community devotees could do. You know, in other words, there's something that the pujari needs to do. The pujari is going to do the abhishek or do certain things, dress the deity. But the pujari technically doesn't have to get all the prepare the paraphernalia or make the decorations or all these different things. You know what I'm saying? Other devotees could do that. So it could be something that, you know, weeks, months, years before, you know, whatever it takes that they have to, you know, so they don't feel overly pressured, you know, then you let it be known what's available. Does that make sense? And then get them involved.
It makes sense if you have the community which is cooperating.
No, but the point is just present it from the, that's what I'm saying, pick things that they could relate to. And like that, and even cultivate that they would manage it themselves. You know what I'm saying? Because, how you say, your community member loves the control. So therefore, you know, somebody there is in control of this, or work it out that each one's in control of their, the absolute dictatorial authority of, you know, how you say, the vases. You know, that's it. You know, no one else can touch them. No one else can go near them. In fact, you can't even look at them until they want you to look, you know, and like that. But make sure that they don't overlap, because where they overlap, then you'll have wars. And, you know, and then it's better you do it alone. You know what I'm saying? You know, so set one up in, you know, this place and someone else in that place, and there's no common doors, sinks, you know, anything. You know what I'm saying? In other words, use your time to think about it and work out how they could be engaged. Then in that case, you just in the morning do something very nice for Krishna, like that and that, or, you know, plan something really nice. Don't get into much. Like, in other words, if the community doesn't want to take part and all they're going to do is come for prasad, therefore, as far as decoration and stuff goes, you only have to do that which you can see. Which means you're this far away from the deity, it looks nice there, right? There's two kinds of dressing. That means there's only one kind. But when you dress, many pujaris make the mistake of only dressing, it looks good from this far away. But when you stand back 20 feet, you can't notice it like that. So in this case, you just do all those nice things that only you see. You know, so nice flowers for the deity, a nice garland. Don't get into decorating the whole ark or in the whole temple room and all that. And because no one else cares. Right? Make a lot of real nice preparations for Krishna and make a few, you know, bulk ones that are very nice, a nice sabji, a nice halva, a nice rice or something like that for the devotees. And then, you know, hopefully you can get someone to do kirtan like that. And then, you know, have a small abhishek if they'll appreciate it. You know, and if they're not going to come for that either, then you have your artik at night, and because you did your abhishek in the morning, and then you have the whole day to chant and sit there and read Krishna book to Krishna. You understand? In other words, if they're not going to, the only reason of presenting all this is because that'll inspire them. They're not inspired, there's no need. So you just do something small for the deep. In fact, if the big deities are too much, do something really nice for the small deities. Make them a whole kunja and everything, you know? Takes you an extra hour, but that's better than 6 hours to do the altar, you know, like that. So it's nice. And then those few people who appreciate, they'll come up close and look, and the other ones will just say what time's prasad. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna will got some nice preps, you know, and then you can distribute the maha. And, you know, Hari Bol. You know, in other words, why go into a big pancharatrik thing if they're not going to be inspired by it? It means, in other words, it's not that you reduce the service, you reduce the volumes, right? It doesn't take long to cook this much, you know, of a preparation. But to cook, you know, 10 preparation feast and all that, if they expect it, come help. You know, or if you can't help, put in money. But they want to not help and not put in money because they're devotees and you have to understand and they're busy, then they should be able to come and take advantage. So, yeah. Nice halva, nice sabji, and a nice rice, you know? No big deal. You know, how much they want, you know? Take some home for their, you know, parakeet, you know, like that. You know, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Like that. And then you do the nice things you want in the morning, and then that gives you, you know, after 9, 10 o'clock, then, you know, you're done. You know, or if you're cooking a noon offering, like that, you want to do something nice there, so then do a nice puja and decoration in the morning, you know, do a nice abhishek or something like that. Then cook something nice for lunch, make the offering, and then when the deities take rest, then you can also rest or chant or other things like that. And people aren't going to show up again until like 10 o'clock at night, like that. So that gives you, you know, like that, you know, 10 hours. Does that make sense? So like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, because otherwise, why waste your time? Well, they can come and help you. Oh, they are doing. Okay, well, as long as they want to do it, but you just have to tell them that why put out so much for people who are not interested. You know what I'm saying? If they were Hindus, great, do a whole thing because they will appreciate. Like that. Though they may not come and help in this, but they'll appreciate. But the other ones, it's kind of like they're in the negative because somehow or another that's their identity. It establishes their position. So because of that, why cultivate that? You know, why waste your time? You know, the point is it's not volume that makes it great. It's quality. So do something in quality small. buy some nice, you know, good flowers and do a small thing. You know, it's very difficult for small deities. Bigger thing, do it for the bigger deities. More, do it for the altar. Yeah, more. You know, so as you have, you increase. Because as it mentions, that what's the use if it's only the three of you working and no one else cares, then why is it you guys shouldn't be chanting your rounds? Then according to what was said before, technically that's prayasha. It's over endeavor. Because if you don't chant, all this is so that your chanting goes nice, you inspire in chanting. You're not chanting because of this. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're doing all this and doing that and then hundreds or thousands of devotees come and really appreciate. Then it has some meaning. But you're going to do all that and they're not going to care anyway. Why get involved? He will always be praying to the Lord that he will chant clear, attentive rounds with the mind fixed on Krishna. For on one's own, one cannot accomplish anything. Krishna's grace is necessary to cross the ocean of material existence. Being anxious in heart, one should beg for mercy. And because Krishna is merciful, he will help. Whoever does not try for that mercy is very unfortunate. Right? So Krishna is very merciful, but you have to want it. You don't want it, how will he, what's the meaning of his expressing his mercy? Right? The person doesn't ask for money, and you go up and give him money, would that be called mercy? No, the person wants money and you give it, then it's called mercy. You understand? So the point is, Krishna's mercy is manifest when you want it. That's it. Yes.
Often we can see lack of this understanding that an endeavor is required to overcome this obstacle.
Yes. Well, because there's the idea that endeavor can be avoided on everything. No endeavor, I'll get prema. Without endeavor, I'll get money. Right? Why do you think devotees are always into scams and stuff like that? Scams.
Get rich quick
schemes. You know, very popular. Why? Because they think without work you'll get something. So there's laziness. So therefore you might look at the middle one here. Somehow or another you have to get yourself somebody who's very doesn't waste their time and very absorbed in chanting and like that, and then somehow or another get everybody to associate with that person. So how you're going to do that, I'm not sure.
That's another chapter.
Get them all to go to the tour, maybe.
But like, your lifestyle of the devotee is conducive to cultivating this offense, like.
Yes, of course. Because the modern thing is the modern society. What is it cultivating in the individual? The common individual. Consumering. So all you have to do is spend. It doesn't say you have to make. That's why you have a credit card. You don't have the money. You know, but you spend. You know? Like that. Because then for the person who is lazy, then debt is his inspiration. Not that he's overly inspired, but at least it keeps him, active. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, therefore they only have to cultivate spending. But for there actually to be money, then that means that those who understand that only through action you get result, they have to take advantage of that and be very active and make things available. You understand? So if the person is naturally active all the time, then you know he's from the one group. And if he's not, then you know he's from the other group. Because there's only two groups. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have a few intellectuals on the side who don't get involved in that. But, you know, generally they're sitting in little cafes somewhere, you know, like that. So you don't bump into them much either. I mean, unless you want to go to Bavaria, then you might catch a few. Paris is far away, but does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, you have to find what will. In other words, look at the principle, and instead of long-term motivation, look at what will be short-term. Because the point is just like it's said here, is that what was that? Very good. You know, they don't waste their time. That's very good. It's a very nice program. That find ways to regularly have very short, small things that someone who's lazy could be involved in, and they would appreciate. Rather than look at, you know, in other words, the big picture would be made up of a lot of real small little things. Does that make sense? Like that. Because then if you have persons who you can give some responsibility for a long time, they can do it and be inspired, then that's good. If not, break it down into real small little bits. You know, okay, we're going to do this. You know, this week we're doing this, or this festival, we've got to do that. Because you always have to then set all these little goals that are very accomplishable and break them down into something, and don't let them work it out. As it said here, the other people are the ones that are not lazy. So they get their association. It doesn't say that, but the previous one, it just says, associate with those who are always absorbed in Krishna's service, because the person's always active. Right? And in the third one, he's also active. But the problem is he's active in the negative. So therefore, then be a little bit more extreme, you know? So that's not, but the lazy person is not that absorbed. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're distracted by their family and their sense gratification and this and that. But it's not dynamic. It's not like they're trying to get a lot of something and this and that. So their little bit of prestige is quite petty. You know what I'm saying? If it's big, then it's, you know. Does that make sense? So 10, attachment to I and mine. Overcome with prema, Haridas recited the last offense in chanting the holy name. Listen, my lord, this offense is the lowest of all. With this offense, one cannot get prema. It is the attitude which is exactly opposite to surrender to the Lord. Having extirpated the first 9 offenses, the devotee should culture full surrender to the name. According to the scriptures, there are 6 types of surrender, which are impossible to explain in detail. It means they're so great in so much detail. In brief, they are as follows. 1. Accepting everything favorable for service to the Lord. 2. Rejecting everything unfavorable for service to the Lord. 3. Having faith in Krishna as one's protector. 4. Knowing that Krishna is one's preserver and maintainer. 5. Thinking oneself as low and worthless. 6. Being self-surrendered. If one does not culture these attitudes while chanting, one will simply accumulate material in life. Low and worthless. Well, I mean, location definitely would be a major difference. Low and worthless, meaning that I'm not attached to Krishna, I'm attached to the material energy. So the worthlessness comes from my absorption in the material. But it does. But they're in knowledge that they know they're the soul, so the soul by nature is Krishna's servant. So they're actually looking at it in knowledge. What one could say is, what's the difference between thinking oneself very special and thinking oneself as low and worthless, meaning that one has no self-confidence and one, you know, feels bad about himself and stuff like that. Because that's just the opposite of thinking I'm great, right? Because, you know, I don't want to do something because I'm afraid it'll come out bad. So what's the problem with it coming out bad? Right? It means you try it again. No, but people might criticize. And why is that bad? Because I'm great. You know what I'm saying? In other words, that person who lacks confidence, you know, when they're asked to give the class or the kirtan, if they actually thought that after the class and everyone would stand up and whistle and, you know, pick them up and carry them around the room and stuff like that, and they'd give the class. But they're worried that that's not going to happen. You understand? But like a kid, they'll try anything. And if it doesn't go right, then they laugh, you know, and then try again. Because the point is if it's not right, you adjust it. You cooked. It wasn't enough salt. So what do you do next time? Put more salt. You know, it's not like now it's the end of the world. There was no salt. This, that. No, next time you cook, put more salt. Does that make sense?
And in the West, we're not, this is not something that's valued very highly.
Feeling oneself low and worthless. It depends which continent you're from. If you cross the, you happen to be kind of connected to the descendants of the Picts.
Picts?
Yeah.
I'm from Northern Ireland, like Ulster as well.
Okay. Okay, the Picts were more south, closer to the wall. Okay, but that group. So, therefore, no, this will not be valued at all. But the point is that what is one's greatness? Is it because one can do something with the body or intelligence? Right? Or is it because one is doing something in connection to the Lord? So that's the value. Right? But not doing something in connection to the Lord, that's useless. So then that puts the one is not understanding one's position. So that's low. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of, it's not one of these modern attitudes of you know, self-deprecation here. You understand? That's one could also ask, what's the difference between thinking oneself as low and worthless and self-deprecation, right? You know, or like that. No, this is just understanding that low and worthlessness is because it's not connected to Krishna. The other one just figures, because I'm unable to do something and I'm unable to get results, that's why I'm low and useless. But the point is, the results are for Krishna. Right? So the point is that you made the endeavor to get the results for Krishna. That's what's of value. You didn't get it, then you figure out what's wrong and work harder next time to get it. Does that make sense? Because the straw in the street, nobody cares about. So therefore, if one considers oneself like that, then one can offer respect to everyone else. But otherwise, the point is there's something in everyone to respect. There may be something also to not respect. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, the guy next door, you know, he's always drunk, he's always this, you know, he's rowdy and all that, and, you know, all kinds of things like that. But you see, you know, he keeps his, you know, house and lawn well maintained. So that's a good thing. You know, he's orderly. That aspect is good. The other part's bad. So its point is what's good is good and what's bad is bad. So what's good you keep, what's bad you correct. Does that make sense? So the point is if one is humble, then one is able to respect others. Then it makes working quite good. Is that okay?
In that line, focusing on what is good, it keeps me respecting them.
Yes, but it's not that you're not aware of what's bad. Means, in other words, when it comes to, you know, taking care of the lawn and fixing the house, you could ask the guy how to do that and that, and he'll, you know, say so many things, and you can take him as an authority. You know, but when it comes to, let's say, you know, domestic, interaction, he may not be the guy you want to ask. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that when we have, that means we fall into these traps of niceness, goodness, because I see the good in everybody, I don't see any bad, so therefore I'm naive, and then I fall prey to, I get cheated, and then I get cheated and I feel so bad, and then I become bitter and everything like this. And but the point is no, where people are good, that's where you give that grace, and that place where they're not, you don't. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, if it comes to these different things like that, then he would be the man to talk about. But you wouldn't ask him, let's say, to, you know, kind of like be a babysitter, you know, while you go out to some function or something. You know what I'm saying? So you know where the weakness is, and that's not where you deal. But this idea that if there's a weakness and everything's bad, or if they're good, then everything's good. No, it's a matter of where you're good, you're good. And where you're not, you're not. And where you're good, that's what you engage. And what's not is that's what you avoid. Unless there's some way to engage it.
So, just as a example,
I
can of practicing finality. If I recognize what's good and what's bad, and what is bad, I know, but I don't vibrate that. I mean,
yeah, you don't. It's just there. It's not a matter of. It's just like would you expect your dog to catch the rats?
Yeah.
You understand? So it's not a fault. Because of that, then dogs are useless. And it's not like that. You sit around and tell your friends, "Yeah, he's a great dog, but he can't catch rats." You know, it's like it's not something. It's not a point of discussion. You know what I'm saying? So the difficult the point is the weaknesses of others is not a need of a point of discussion. It being a need of point of discussion is called gossip. Right? You know, and we saw before is there was that one of the four imperfections of the faults of the conditioned living entity is the need for gossip. Right, you know, that they have to find a fault and gossip about it, and, you know, like that. It's just one of the things that they do. So it's there. It's not necessary. It's not that you're avoiding it. It's just a matter of. It's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? I have my smart. You know, it's great if I just want to run down to some place and do some work and come back. But if I want to buy something, you know, like a sofa, then I take the pickup truck. Right, but if I just want to go down and find some little parking place and do some quick in and out, I don't take the, you know, the muscle truck. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that it's dwelt on; it's that something has where it's strong. That's where it's engaged. Right. So the focus is on there. But if it comes up, well, why not this person? Oh no, but then they have this. You know, they would. This might come up like that. So if that can be dealt with. Then okay. But if there is nothing in place to deal with it, then better to get someone who you don't have to deal with the problem. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yes.
I'm sorry, it will be on the previous one, but this vivid picture can go out from my mind.
So you're talking about this last point here? Is that?
The lion that looks crazy.
Lazy.
Taking a congregation member who comes to the Sunday programs once a week, good standard.
You were saying that to be nice.
Yes. Okay. So he comes there. Okay, Bajan,
try Blue Moon.
Bajan may be nice. He can doze a little bit, leaning against the wall. Kirtan, hopefully, I'm way through, maybe by Krishna grace nobody will drag me in so much. During the class it's nice, I do my dose again, no problem. For prasadam, okay, some enlightenment is there. This time hopefully by Krishna's grace nobody asks me for some help and then disappears. So how this category can be helped?
It depends upon how what's your percentage of the volume of this category. not trying to make anybody or anything look bad, but what's your percentage?
I would guess it's like more than unemployment rate.
Okay, and what's the unemployment rate in your locale?
100%. 50.
So more than that. 15. Oh. Okay. So then, then I would say is focus on those who are active. Ask them only. Only engage them. Make the program tight enough that it moves through. So those that it'll fit into the schedule nicely. Everybody, maximum people can attend because it's not too long. But, you know, those who are more qualified take part of the various aspects, so it's a good experience, right? Because it says there is that if the lazy person associates with those who are not lazy, in other words, don't ask the lazy people to do anything. The problem is you ask them, then they want to say no, and then they feel uncomfortable, you feel uncomfortable. That only ask the ones you know will do. You know, and if you're involved also, then it's nice, you know, and create the mood and all that. See that the lazy people are, you know, comfortably involved and, you know, like that. The prashad's nice, they're going to, they get another prashad, all these different things. And then they'll start to like it. They'll start to like the activity. And then slowly then, you know, because here it doesn't say, you know, so when it says very quickly, it means, you know, we've been in the material world since time immemorial. Right? So it's quicker than eternity. And that makes sense. So in other words, and you're comfortable, maybe it may take years before the guy may help doing something, but you know, so that's workable. If it's 60%, you got yourself a problem. But if it's 20%, then just leave them alone. But make sure they don't disturb anybody else. Like in other words, don't bring up so much that they're not doing something. But the point is arrange that they can't disturb those who are. Right? Does that make sense? You know, they sit down first, start demanding prashad. No, it's like that. We have a thing. Everyone sits, you know, when everybody's situated, then we'll start serving. You know, whatever will bring them in line, but pleasantly, so that their experience is good. They'll like being around those who are active. Otherwise, they're afraid of those who are active because they might ask them to do something. Does that make sense? You know, but don't make sure that the program moves quick enough so that for the max amount of people they won't get bored. You know. Does that make sense? You know, there are people who as soon as two kartals touch, they fall asleep. You know. Or as soon as you say om namo, they're asleep. Right? So, you know, that's gonna happen anyway.
So public announcements are not the best because they are
to get everybody to do something? No. I would know who's there. Even beforehand, call them up or connect with them, ask them if they'll do these things. So it's all worked out. Public announcements, one, are really boring. And two is then there's always the thing of, you know, you're hoping that they'll be inspired and come through, but why would the announcement itself inspire if they're not inspired? So something has to inspire. So the announcement will not be the inspiration. Right? You know, just like a lock keeps honest people honest. It doesn't stop thieves. Right, so an announcement may work on inspired people, but then you bore everybody else and spend more time. So you could already directly approach them, and that personal relationship, you'll be more inspired, they'll be more inspired. Right? You know, because there you recognize them as they're active and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So you can work it out before. So if it's, you know, spend some time with them. Go out of the way. In other words, those who are active and are more involved, show more promise, spend more time with them. You know what I'm saying? And those who are, you know, confirmed lazy, you know, like that, just see that everything goes nicely for them. But, you know, don't waste any time. Don't waste any time in the program hoping that they'll, you know what I'm saying? Because the kirtan's going nice, that ends, and it immediately goes into the next thing. Announcements are always a downer. You know, that's why sometimes no one likes and no one listens to the announcers. That's why now and again, I've noticed those who are really aggressive in their management techniques and really feel that their thing's important try to stuff it in somewhere where, you know, it shouldn't be, but they can catch everybody. You know, it's like between Jayarada Madhava and when you, you know, read the verse, they want to make their announcements then, or after the class and before you've said, you know, ended the class, or, you know, all these different times, you know, halfway through something, you know. You know what I'm saying? Those things are extremely annoying, you know, to the nth degree. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, if you don't need, if it's you're trying to get people, you already know who will do the work, then don't bother with announcements. Does that make sense? So the point is these lazy people get association. Focus more, your announcements can be about the chanting or taking part in the process, not that that they're not, or that they should do it at home, just that they're there now, the kirtan's going on, you know, absorb yourself, read something, like have a little passage from something that's on, you know, some nectar about the chanting and that absorption, and just read that out before the kirtan starts. So the kirtan's going when they're changing kirtan singers, read that out, or, you know what I'm saying, just little things like that, and then they'll get more absorbed and try, and just slowly, slowly it'll pick up. Is that okay? About being self-surrendered. Being surrendered to yourself. I'm very surrendered to myself. So whenever I want something, I always surrender and get it. So what's the doubt?
Surrendered to the aspect of the spirit.
And so you're worrying, being surrendered, being self-surrendered, what that means. It'll be explained. I'm sure he's going to go into it. But I would expect being self-surrendered means you on your own are surrendered to the process. Right? In other words, this would be the element of either being, consider oneself meek and humble, unless that's already taken here. Because in these two, you have the always identifying yourself as a devotee. So that's self-surrendered. Right? Because you're always identifying yourself. You don't have to be told. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you know, the guy was not, he had, you know, a little distracted and all that, and so then he, you know, fell into an old habit that he used to like to go down and hang out at the pub. So he goes there and, you know, he's not so comfortable, but, you know, the desire is strong, so he's, you know, how you say, driven, you know, he gets himself his drink, he looks around the whole, all the room, you know, in the room, he sees, you know, over the table a very attractive, you know, lady that he could possibly strike up a conversation. He goes over and, you know, it's his best attitude, sits down, puts down his drink and says, "Hi, you know, my name's this, what's your name?" And then she, you know, looks up, stares him straight in the eyes and says, "My name's Maya." And then he goes, Krishna's trying to tell me something. So that's that. What we're saying is that it's beyond that. You don't have to be reminded. Like that. That was a true story. Because in some places in the world, Maya is a very common female name. Yeah.
My Guru Maharaj, he once, when he was young, left the temple and went to a movie theater. And before the movie, there was a commercial for beers. And there was Hare Krishna's in the commercial. After they'd been on book distribution, they went to the cafe and had one of these beers. Okay. Maya's trying to, Krishna's trying to tell me something.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Went back to the temple.
Went back to the temple. Yeah, that works. It works.
In Brazil, there's a big shop, like a chain store called Maya.
Maya.
Maya store.
Maya, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so self-surrendered means on your own, you're always contemplating and thinking about. Because as we use in the next section, we'll get into... The next section is a study of these six. So here we'll get, you know, to some degree, but the next is a study of that. Okay. If one does not culture these attitudes while chanting, one will simply accumulate material in life. So I'm not sure if that means you'll collect things or facilities, or one will simply become overburdened with the material concept. But I'm sure any of those would not be good. Right? So. Those things which always help increase devotion should be accepted in one's life with relish. Those things which impede devotion should be rejected in disgust. One should believe that other than Krishna, there is no one on whom to depend, and that Krishna alone is one's maintainer. Right? Because otherwise we're thinking by my own arrangement, you know, I can't depend upon the devotees, I got to take care of myself, this, that. No, so we're dependent on Krishna, because the point is even your ability to do it yourself is coming from Krishna. So the point is the mistake is that someone else is going to do it. No, you're an instrument in Krishna taking care. Because we have the idea, oh, he's my maintainer, protector, means I do nothing. Right? And therefore, then everything I want comes. No, but if he's my maintainer and protector, he takes care of you how you think. Right? You know, does that make sense? You feed the dog according to what you think it needs. You understand? So the point is we may not know. Like the kid, how do you feed the kid? Whatever he wants, right? He'd be eating, you know, how you say? You know, hey, Maxwell's, you know, sugar-coated sugar bombs, chocolate-covered sugar bombs all day. That's all he'd ever eat, right? So the point is that, you know, there's other things, you know, eating his peas and carrots. You know, to him it's torture. But you know it's good for him. So therefore, you know, that I run into obstacles in my devotional service, we think it's torture. But actually it's good for you. Right? So Krishna's taking care, but the point is unless we're surrendered, we won't appreciate it. Does that make sense? But we're endeavoring. It's still, even we go out and get a job, make our own money, make our own facilities, we're quite successful, it's still by Krishna's grace that's happening. Right?
If we think like that, it can be okay to do that.
It's fine to do that. But the point is one's motivation for doing it isn't the illusion that the devotee should have done that and they didn't do it for me, so now I got to do it myself. Because in both cases, you're not really thinking it's Krishna. Because it's by Krishna's grace, whatever you get, you get. You need more if they can provide it, great. If not, you make the endeavor. But the point is it's still by Krishna's grace. Right? Because by Krishna's grace, they're getting a certain amount by their endeavor. You want more than that, then you make the endeavor according to Krishna's directions. That's why there's occupation. Right? That's why brahmacharya is known as an ashram, not as an occupation. Because it's not known for generating excesses of funds. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, you want that new surround sound, you want a new couch, you want a this and that. Then you got to get it. That's called an occupation against those. But it's by Krishna's grace it's coming anyway. You know what I'm saying? So in either case, then it works nice. But the problem is one can't see it in the one won't see it in the other either. Does that make sense? If you can't see it that as the brahmacharya, how whatever you get, they're taken care of by Krishna's mercy, then when one sees one needs beyond that, one won't see that you're getting more beyond that is also Krishna's mercy. So it's not a matter of being practical, it's a matter of being Krishna conscious. See, because to most, practical simply means that endeavor which gets the result you're looking for. Your identity in that, your technique of performing the activity, and who the results are for, aren't a consideration. Practical simply means niti. I made the endeavor, I got the results, bus. But that's not, that, yes, it is practical, and the Vedas are called practical. That's what niti is. It's called ethics. Just what's right and wrong to get your work done. That's all. But, unfortunately, by the Western condition, we can't tell the difference between what's right and wrong and what's good and bad. We actually can't tell the difference between ethics immorality. That's the problem. You know? So, therefore, if it makes money, it has to be good. And if it doesn't make money, it's not good. Yes, that's true if you're doing business. You know what I'm saying? But you know, other things, that's not the case. You know what I'm saying?
I mentioned that because, like you mentioned, many devotees in the past thought that I failed as a devotee, so I go back and do my own thing to do it. But recently, someone told me in Hyderabad, there is a second Rupa, actually, a group of disciples from Bhakti Prashan, they just all bought houses in the same street, made away. They work in the computer science in Hyderabad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing really fine. They take the devotees to the Bhakti Shastri and all that.
Okay.
So that seems in place, right?
That's in place because that's their situation. But so that's where you situate. The difficulty is that the misunderstanding of how all these things work. Surrender means surrender in that situation you're in. So if being a grihastha is the best situation, but it's not that being a brahmachari for some time and getting training is not of value. You know what I'm saying? So it's understood it's there for a certain time. It's not a matter how long you can go and get the maximum out of them or how long because of your false ego or not use your intelligence. It's a matter of this much time is spent as a brahmachari. Right? Before, it was standard. 12 years was the standard. You know? Like that. And one could go beyond that, but if one didn't, it was understood that that's normal. Right? So then that training, and so those symptoms of surrender and absorption is the brahmachari, now they'll do it as grihasthas. So it's, because we, otherwise, why would all these examples be being given by Prithu Maharaj, emperor of the world, Yudhishthir Maharaj, emperor of the world, Ambarish Maharaj, emperor of the world, you know, Yayati, emperor of the world. You know, why would it be? Because, you know, no one has more facility and stuff than them. But they're fully absorbed in serving the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's the point. But we'll take it that it means no. It means nothing. If you know, it's like, you know, you have nothing. No, it's the result's not for you. Nothing means the result isn't for you. Something means the result's for you. Does that make sense? That's the difference. Is that okay? Yeah. So it's the point is that they both can go on simultaneously. This idea it has to be either temple or community. That's a mistake. They both can go on. Because I guarantee that those grihasthas who've all bought houses and did all that and organized their life, they'll be very inspired by brahmacharis. That's the point. So the point is the two go very well together. But the point is, if you think it can only be one or the other, that's where the problem. That's material. Right? Because Krishna's non-dual. The Varnashram system is non-dual. It all works together. It's one body. But we'll see it as different. You know, all the temples didn't work, now communities. But community, but someone who doesn't know what community is can't establish community. But the person who can't establish community can't establish temple either. Because sustainable temple and sustainable community are the same thing. Does that make sense? Because it's based on relationships. It's based on being active. It's based on not expecting something from the result of your work. Does that make sense? You know, that's the. Is that okay? One should think that one is very low and unqualified with no possessions. As an eternal servant of Krishna, one will be willing to do anything that Krishna desires. Right? That's the self-surrender. To believe that one is the doer, the giver, the protector, that one owns his body, house, wife, and offspring. To think oneself to be a Brahman or a Shudra, husband or wife, king or citizen, this should all be rejected. Instead, concerning one's thoughts on Krishna, one should think of Krishna as the controller and doer, that Krishna's desire is the main thing. One will do as Krishna desires, not as one independently wants to do. Quote, by Krishna's wish, I will stay in this world, and by Krishna's wish, I will cross over it. If there is pain, if there is rejoicing, still I am Krishna's servant. By his will, he will give mercy to the jivas. My material enjoyment and renunciation are all dependent on Krishna. End quote. When this attitude is present, it is called Atmanivedanam, or self-surrender. Okay, there's your... In other words, all those points, when they're seen in connection with Krishna, that's self-surrender. But when those points are seen not in connection with Krishna, that I am the doer, that's what I'm saying, I'm being practical, means it's no self-surrender. Well, what can I do? I surrender the temple, but no. But the point is did we? Because the point is why is the temple supposed to, you know, maintain the lifestyle you're doing now? You want that? You get that yourself. That's the way it works. You know, it's never said that when it says the temple life will fulfill all desires, it means, yeah, all spiritual desires and enough of the material to, you know, function. But if one needs more to function with, then one arranges itself. That's why there's an occupation. You know what I'm saying? Because brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyasis, you talk about them generically, not according to varna. Does that make sense? They may be, so there may be some differentiations, but there's not. Brahmachari ashram described by Manu, there's no difference between the three, you know, except when they beg, what they emphasize, right? The Brahmin emphasizes the respect, the Kshatriya the work, and the Vaishya the result, like that. But and the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas generally don't go to Brahmin feedings. If you're feeding Brahmins, generally they don't go. But technically, as Brahmacharis, they can. But generally, they wouldn't. Because even Brahmin Brahmacharis wouldn't. Because that's meant for the Grihasthas. That's their livelihood. You know. Does that make sense? But if it's a thing they've been invited, that's another thing. Does that make sense? So you don't, you know, Vanaprasthas, you don't hear about the differences there. Sannyas, you don't hear about the differences there. Does that make sense? But it's grihasthas that it makes a difference. So the point is, occupation is for grihastha. Occupation creates, generates facility. You need more facility, then get an occupation. Does that make sense? That's varnashram. So this idea that I'll get everything here, I didn't, so I surrendered and I didn't. That was not a full understanding. Right? May have been popular, so everyone looked at it that way, but it doesn't mean it's... So that's why by studying, one gets more of an understanding. When these six types of Sharanagati, full surrender, are not present in an individual, he possesses the intelligence of I and mine. Like, I did it, and, you know, some result should be mine.
You know what I'm saying?
I collected $500,000 for the temple. What did I get for it? Why, was he supposed to get something for it? Right? You know, he got halava every Sunday. But, you know, what was he looking for? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. No, but, you know, I should get more. I should be more respected. I should have become the new temple president. Or, you know, I should have gotten that flat, you know, that was available. But then that's karma. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it doesn't work like that. So the I and mine comes up. Such a person is considered a low rascal because he believes that he is the doer, that the world is his, that he is the creator of his destiny and the enjoyer of the fruits of his activities, that he is his own protector and maintainer, that these are his wife, brothers, sons, and daughters, that by his own endeavor he can achieve all perfection and glory. Such people are proud of the power of their own knowledge. Not considering the Lord's control, they think that by their own brain they can increase and extend the arts and sciences.
Right? Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So the point is we must remember that Haridas Thakur is discussing with Lord Chaitanya about the intricacies of pure chanting. So this discussion is meant and directed at the devotees. Mm. Right? So the point is having material consciousness is this bad. Mm. But the point is the devotional process is what's natural for the living entity, so by taking part in it, all this will go away very easily. But it's not that it's that we don't, this modern idea is, oh, don't worry about it and everything's all nice, just see the good, don't see the bad, all this kind of, no, it's that this stuff's bad. But the how you remove it, we see, is always a positive. Good. The other one is always association of devotees and that. Well, the modern, it's never association of devotees. It's always, you know, yeah, you go away from the association of devotees until you become repentant and, you know, feel yourself, you know, you can see you're wrong and you're willing to correct yourself like that. But as we see, all bad is only corrected in the association of devotees. So it's not a real answer. Haridas Thakur would never support any of these things. Quote, if these people hear the glories of the name, they do not believe them, or they do not chant Krishna's name. It is only out of social custom. Or if they do chant Krishna's name, it's only out of social custom. Being pretenders and cheaters, they may chant the name in Hela Namabas, but will never get prema. This offense is due to being bound tightly by Maya, and deliverance is very difficult. Right? So the point is where it applies. You know, it's not that all these things together go with this. It's just the whole full range of what's there, then what applies, that is where the weakness is, right? And then he'll give the solution, and then that one. However, one can see that there are some people who, taking up the name and reaching the level of Shuddha Bhakti, have completely given up material attachment and humbly worship Krishna's lotus feet and sing his name. One should seek out this type of person, take his association and serve him with the desire to give up material attachment. Gradually one will become fixed in the name and I and mine will go away as one transcends attachment to Maya. Giving up the false mentality, one will culture full surrender, which is the constitutional position of the jiva and the very nature of bhakti. By this one can get prema. Right, so I and mine means that you're not surrendered because I'm doing it and whatever I get is mine. But if I'm surrendered, I'm only an instrument, and because I'm an instrument, I'm helping someone else, so it's not mine. The spoon, after having finished cooking the sabji, can't claim the sabji is now mine because I pushed it around in here for the last 20 minutes. And it is hot in here, you know, so, you know, I put in my dues. So sabji's mine. Right? No, the spoon is an instrument. So it belongs to who is directing the instrument, right? So for an instrument for Krishna, that means the results are for Krishna. So that's surrender. So there's no I in mine. But if I'm the doer, then the results are mine. Right? So.
But it's also mentioned here the importance to culture.
Culture.
It's not black and white. It
means culture, the association of these advanced devotees.
Yes, and also giving up the false mentality when we culture.
Yeah, means as we culture, we'll give up, or as we give up, we can culture more. So whichever way we start.
So it is like gradual.
Gradual, but this gradual can be quite quick.
Yes.
It's like, you know, as quick as a moment, or you know, extending over lifetimes. Like that. So the point is it's however one focuses. Like that. So it's a one who gives up the 10 offenses and performs devotional service correctly is the most fortunate in the three worlds, is full of all good qualities, and is qualified for getting Krishna's mercy. While chanting the holy name very soon by Krishna's mercy, that person will come to the level of bhava and prema. The Lord has stated himself that whoever takes the name without offenses will attain prema. And whoever takes the name without giving up the offenses will never attain pure bhakti in spite of his practices. The practice of jnana gives liberation, and fruitive activities give material enjoyment. But pure Krishna bhakti and prema are available only by correct execution of sadhana bhakti. As liberation and material enjoyment are both unsatisfying, and as bhakti is the only solution, the real form of liberation and the glory of the soul, the jiva must obtain bhakti. By carefully performing sadhana bhakti without any offenses, the creeper of bhakti will quickly yield the fruit of prema. To do sadhana carefully means to do it without the 10 offenses. Right? So it's not so much on the ritual as it is on avoiding the 10 offenses. Right? But if one's attentive, all these things, one will naturally follow. But the emphasis isn't on following the rule nicely. Right? Unless that's being used as a distraction, that you're going to follow material endeavor very nicely, so therefore better follow the sadhana very nicely. Right? But the real dynamic is the association of devotees. Right? The creeper of bhakti. Therefore, whoever is desirous of obtaining bhakti will take the name, being attentive to avoid each of the 10 offenses, and in his heart, fervently begging at the feet of the holy name to give mercy to destroy offenses. One can never be released from offenses against the name by brayaschitta or pious activity, but only by again taking shelter of the name continuously. So there's no other method. Right? Because then if there is another method, we would be saying karma and jnana actually generate bhakti. Right? Chanting day and night, feeling repentant, the offenses will go and the fruit of the name will come. One will get Shuddha Nam, then Bhava Nam, then Prema Nam. Right? So here is before we're talking about that pure meaning on the platform of liberation. Right? And so then that would mean the Madhyama is in the clearing stage. But then here, you know, the Nishta has been as neutral. So it's not offensive, but it's not dynamic. Right, that attentiveness is not there. So that inattention is still somewhat there because there's not that full absorption in Krishna. So then here is then he's saying the Shuddhanam. So we can see that can come earlier. So that can come by having that taste. So this will be where we'll count the Ruchi and the Sakti as part of that very advanced position. That will bring one then to Bhava and then Bhava to Nam, to Prema. Finally, to keep the offenses from entering the heart, pray for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who is absorbed in the nectar of the name. Right? So Lord Chaitanya is absorbed. You pray to him, then you can get that absorption. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has become the recipient of the leelas of devotion. By the grace of Haridas, sings eagerly the touchstone of the holy name. So by the grace of Haridas Thakur, then he's getting these things. So then he is then documenting them. Yes.
I remind there is this argument that also Krishna helps us by removing our faith in the situation that we have to remove that attachment.
Yes. Point is that if we're doing it on our own, then Krishna doesn't need to. Right? In other words, the point is but if we're not, then Krishna removing everything, that's his mercy. But we see the person who in a environment, a facility, is able to always keep absorbed in Krishna, then that's even a better situation. That shows more mercy. Because even though he's surrounded by facility, he's not distracted by it. Well, the other one, if he has facilities, distracted, so if you take it away, then he turns to Krishna. Does that make sense? So, however it works, the point is to get attached to Krishna. You know? So it's not that Bali Maharaj is any less because, you know, Krishna took everything away from him. Because the point is he fully surrendered. Does that make sense? So it's, yeah. Because if you're thinking, well, I'll always endeavor to do everything nice so Krishna doesn't take anything away. But then that's the element, is that we're attached to having those facilities. So the point is no, it's just for serving Krishna.
But there is a scope on those areas where the attachments are deeply rooted, to instead of actually purifying them,
but you can only involved in the process if you purify them. See, as you can't, it's like this: you can't have your cake and also eat it. Either the cake's there, or you've eaten it and it's not there. Right? Does that make sense? So, you can have your money and tons of it, as long as you understand it's not yours; it's Krishna's. But as soon as it's yours, you can't have it. So if you want Krishna consciousness and your money, you can do that, but it can't be your money. So you can have Krishna consciousness and Krishna's money. But we have this idea that, no, we'll somehow or another get both. No, you can't. That's the thing, is that the spiritual world means just like this. What happens if, you know, we're sitting here and then you suddenly find yourself in this very, very nice, whatever you would consider to be the perfect environment. You know, the perfect place to stay, the perfect surroundings, the perfect food, clothes, you know, anything. When suddenly in that area of that material facility, what's the first thing we do? Huh?
Forget Krishna.
Yeah, forget Krishna. And then, and what do we start doing? What's our immediate reaction?
Trying to enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, first we'll check out what can be enjoyed, right? You know, you go around your, you know, the penthouse suite, and you look at all the rooms and all the closets and what's there. In other words, what could you get out of it? Okay? Does that make sense? So, that's why we're not in the spiritual world. Because if we were put there right now, that's the immediate thing we would do. Check out what we can get out of this. So that's why we're not there. Even though we're there. You know, we're in the spiritual world, but we still look around and see things we consider material. So that keeps it in balance. Right? It means, in other words, if these are rocks, we sit here and ignore them and occasionally pick them up for an example, you know, and when the class, during the class, no one looks at them, after the class, no one looks at them. What if all these were valuable gems, each one this size, you know? You know, the whole thing is all, you know, 30 carat, 50 carat, you know, diamonds and emeralds and rubies all here. You know, just because that's just what happens to be what sits around here is rocks. Right? You know, we might not be so focused on the class, and after class we might be very busy with all the...
That's what happened earlier when there were no rocks. There used to be gems and someone picked them up, right?
Yeah, I guess. And so then.
So now you have to downgrade to
yes,
this model.
Yes. Does that make sense? So the point is that means the residence of means Mother Yashoda doesn't think it's her house, she thinks it's Krishna's house. But it's her facility to serve Krishna. You understand? So that's therefore they don't think anything's theirs. Because they don't think anything's theirs, then there's no question of I and mine. You understand? But we have this idea is that I'm going to have everything I want and Krishna consciousness, right? The best of both worlds, right? And one devotee was thinking that as he was, you know, happened to be down on the French Riviera, you know, on the beach like that, in one of those chairs, you know, sipping his drink, you know, with a little umbrella in it and all these different things. And he was thinking, this is the best of both worlds, right? We're Krishna conscious, we're sitting here chanting, but we're on the French Riviera like that. And no, it's not going to work.
Therefore, it ends up in Krishna's
Yeah, he wasn't much at the Riviera after that. I've never heard of him going back again, though. True. Does that make sense? Yes. Gets boring. I remember one devotee here, Bengali, and I grew up in the Gurukul and all that. And, you know, he's been hearing his whole life about the West and the Bengali devotees that go to the West and how great it is and all this and that and so many different things. And then once there was, I can't remember how old he was, probably early 20s or that, then he went with the local Maharaj on a tour of Europe. You know, and they went to all the main places and saw all the sights and all that. And when he got back, they said, you know, how was it and all that? Did you like it? And he said, for all that people describe, you'd think that it was made out of gold or something. So as you get over there, it's just no big, you know, it wasn't a big deal like that. So there is that element.
Even for French people,
not
French
Riviera. That's so nice, yeah. Because it's too full of tourists, right? There's too many non-French, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what is it? Cabo in Mexico or something. Yeah. You know, it's like all the ethnicity is gone. It's all tourists. So.
The English beaches are full of Germans.
Yeah, and the German beaches?
They don't have them.
Oh, okay. So they thought you'd say barbed wire and mines or something.
Yeah, okay. That's. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's funny. When I was in one time, as I had this thing, I don't know what it was. I had to go back and forth between New York and L.A. within a short time, so it was all within the summertime. So that's always, you know, school's out, kids, you know, so everyone travels. And in New York, there was these huge, you know how they do it, like they're like one or two stories high, big billboards inside the airport, you know, things like that. And it was all talking about Los Angeles. You know, all the places to see in Los Angeles and go to Los Angeles is the place, and they had special rates and prices for going, this, that, blah. And then sometime later, then I flew to Los Angeles. When I got to Los Angeles, it had all the posters and all that are all about going to New York. You know, so that's the, like that. But none of them mentioned Tallahassee, but somehow.
There's nothing there in Tallahassee.
I was laughing that one time I ended up in Tallahassee giving class, because on the West Coast, Tallahassee is considered, you know, out of the way. I don't know, do you use like Timbuktu? It's an out of the way place. You know, out in the middle of nowhere is Timbuktu, right? So in America, out of the middle of nowhere is Tallahassee.
Close to
his election. Yeah, that's fun. So I ended up at the temple. I was sitting there at the temple. I couldn't stop laughing. I was going to give the class, and everyone said, what are you laughing about? And I'm just thinking, he says, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I'm actually in Tallahassee, right? I didn't even know it really existed. It's just one of those things you say, right? You know, so. Okay. On this note. So then on Thursday, we'll start with these six principles of surrender, like that. And these are all songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So be very nice. I said in there, study the song. When you hear the songs, you'll be inspired. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chanitai Gaura Premanandi.